there will be freedom. There will be a release in my name, declares Jesus. Where there is suffering, it will be relieved. Where there is confusion, there will come clarity. For I have spoken into the darkness, declares God. I've spoken in the midst of the chaos, and my word will endure forever. I have not drawn it back. I have not changed my mind. I've told my people to pray, my will be done on earth, even as it's done in heaven. Not your will, my will. And when the reality of that comes, it will not be the will of an individual or a political party. It will not be the will of a group, but it will be my will that overrides all the other things, to where my reign will rule in the earth, even as it does in heaven. For this is my will, that you would live at peace with me, declares the Lord. That you would know my peace within you. The peace that comes from the world, it will not last. It cannot last. The peace that you gain through achievement will not last. The peace that you attain through belongings and through possessions will not last. It will not endure. But my peace, declares God, will endure forever. It will carry you through in this life into the next. It will carry you over the storms that rage in this world and will set you on the mountaintop, where one day you will look and you will see all the pettiness of men has come to naught. For it is my kingdom that will be established. And my kingdom will be established forever, declares the Lord. There is no shadow of turning in me, but my word will endure. Heaven and earth will pass away. The things that consume your mind now are temporary. They will not endure. But you, your spirit, your soul will endure forever. And those who come to me, declares God, I'll even give you a new body. Oh, and then your salvation will be complete. So take your eyes off the things going around, happening around you. Take your eyes off the temporary things of your own body and begin to look at my glory. For as you watch my glory will fill the earth because it fills you. And I want you to be the source of the outflow of my grace and my truth to others. But you have been declared the first partaker of the fruit. It doesn't pass through you and not affect you. But when healing flows from you, there should be the healing, the renewal that comes in your own body. When peace comes to you as you pray for others, there should be that residue of peace within you, of confidence within you. For the farmer is always the first partaker of that which he gives. He receives it first. And the outflow, the overflow, the abundance goes into the lives of others and affects others and changes circumstances. And it will change the world, says God. So call on my name today while I am near. Call on my name now while I am moving, declares God. And I will meet your need and I will heal you, says the Christ. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word this morning? Hallelujah. Let's start out with our favorite Bible verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Hallelujah. I like that, particularly for the times that we're in right now. He always leads us in triumph in Christ. Not once in a while, not occasionally, not if it be his choice for that day. You know, people always say, "Well, Lord, if it be your will." Well, it is his will. He says so in his word. He says, "Thanks be to God now, who always leads us in triumph in Christ." Isn't that great? That's a promise of God. You know, we started this series, "In Whom Shall We Believe?" Because during the virus and the quarantine and all this, I started thinking about, what is it as Christians that we are supposed to believe? And I started trying to work up a list of all the good doctrine and the correct doctrine that we ought to believe. Oh my, you get into a quandary of things. You know, the most famous example, of course, is when you get into the true doctrine of the church. How many times do you get baptized? How many times you get dipped or poured on or sprinkled on or spit on? And it's like, well, nobody really knows because the Bible doesn't lay it out. So obviously that's not the answer. And Jesus told the Pharisees, he says, "The tradition of men make the word of God of no effect." So it's not just our customs. It's not just what we have developed over the time and the process of being in church and the 2,000 years that we've developed our doctrine and our forms of worship and variety of worship. It's not based in those things. And I read the Gospel of John, and the first chapter just hit me in the face. And we started talking about this last week, and hopefully we'll finish up on it this week. But in John chapter 12, verse 44, and this is a continuation of the message from last week, of where they asked, the disciples asked Jesus to show us the Father. But in John 12, 44, it says, "Jesus cried out and said, 'He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me.'" Jesus is saying, if you believe in Jesus. Now, I keep thinking, I've been meditating this all week. We believe in Jesus, right? But did you know, Jesus is saying, if you believe in me, you really don't believe in me. You believe in the one who sent me. And we'll go through that again in a minute. But your faith is not simply in the person or the manifestation of Jesus. Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. And so when you believe in Jesus, whether we understand it consciously or not, we are actually believing in the Father God, of his love, of his mercy, of his truth that he revealed to us about himself through Jesus Christ. Now, Debbie was hitting on this in Sunday school, and she's about ready to burst my bubble. Because when you talk about the Father, you know, it's one thing as believers that, well, Jesus lives in my heart. And we forget about John 14 and John chapter 16, where Jesus says, well, if I live I will come and live in your heart, and the Father will come and live in your heart, and the Holy Spirit will come and make his abode in you also. And we forget as Christians, we want to just narrow down our faith in the person of Jesus, in the right doctrine of Jesus, of what Jesus did or what Jesus taught, when our faith is really in the Father God, who it's the Father that dwells in us. Jesus is the way. He's showing us the access to the Father, but it is the Father God. Now, why is that critical? Because, I'm already ahead of myself. Let's go to John chapter 1. Why is it important to understand the Father? Because John is talking about the Father God. And in chapter 1, verse 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." See, let's go on. "He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." See, the Father is the Creator. He's not just Father. He's the Creator. Everything around us was created by him and for him. You are created in the image of the Father. By sin we fell, but Jesus came to restore us to that fullness of the Father that we had before sin came in the world. And even better than that, because now we're born again. Adam wasn't born again. He was just created in the image of God, but we're born again. Hallelujah. And see, it's this Father that lives within us. It's not just the person of Jesus. It's not just a set of doctrine. It is the Father himself, the creator, the sustainer, the giver, the one who Hebrews says he upholds all things by the word of his power. And that is such an awesome verse to me. Not by the power of his word. The power of his word is if he shouts, his word has power. No, it's the word of his power, because God can whisper and there's power in his word. He can whisper to you in a still small voice, it's going to be okay. And you know it's going to be okay, because there's power in his word. It's this God, this Father, that in Jesus Christ, when we believed in him, this Father God came and manifested himself and dwells within us. This is why, listen to me, this is why all things are possible to him who believes, because you've got the God who created all things living in you. You have the creative power of God residing in you. Well, some people say, healing's passed away. No, wait a minute. For healing to pass away, the God who creates has got to have died. Because he's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. So it's the Father, the creator, the sustainer, the giver, the producer of life that dwells within us. And you've got so many denominations. And this is why doctrine can mess you up if it's not correct doctrine. Because they'll say, well, this has passed away or that has passed away. In this part of the Bible, it was written for them and not now. Wait a minute. We have the creator God in us, the sustainer of life, the giver of life. We have the one who can raise the dead that dwells within us. Well, I don't know if God's able to help me. Whoa, you don't know God. You don't know God. You know about him. You may know some doctrine about God, but you don't really know God, because if you knew, oh my, I'm so far ahead of myself right now. Let's say in John 1, go to verse 4. He says, in him, and this is the word, this is the creator, in him was life. This is the word. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And we said last week, I'm trying to keep this short because we're in introduction, but the life that was in him came from the Father. The life that was in the word came from the Father, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so when God spoke the word, it was the abundance of his heart that he spoke and released into the earth. So when he spoke the word that was with God and was in the beginning with God and is God, and all things were created through that word, this is the word. This is the abundance of God speaking into our life. And today, so much doctrine is trying to tell us this God of creation, this sustaining God, this awesome God has somehow diminished when he came to live in you. No, he's the same God. He's the same God. He doesn't diminish because he touches you. He increases you. He empowers you. You do not drain his abilities. He instills his ability in you as a believer. Amen. Hallelujah. I like this. I'm preaching myself happy. He says, in him was life. The life we know came from God. He says, now listen, the life was the light of men. So this life puts out light, and the light is Jesus in the earth. The life that was in Christ is of the Father. So when you look at Jesus, you're seeing the life of the Father, but that light is what we can see in our darkness. And it's that light of Jesus. Oh my. Verse 5 says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or overpower it. In other words, there's no darkness that can lessen the light. Glory to God. There's no sickness that can lessen his healing. There's no depression or oppression that can take the joy of the Lord from us. Amen. There's no situation that can rob us or steal from us. Amen. See, this is because we've got God on the inside. Now, we're not just carrying him in a satchel. You know, some Christians carry their Bible as a sign that, well, God's with me. No, whether you have the Bible with you or not, he's still with you because he dwells on the inside of us. Amen. He is the Father God. Now, if you go on to verse 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, which is Jesus, that all through him might believe. Believe what? Believe in the Father. Jesus was the light. John is a witness of the light. The light is the witness of the life of God that was in Christ that he gives to us. I prayed for a man the other day, and he got miraculously healed. He got a favorable report back in less than 24 hours. I prayed for him for a brain tumor that he said he had just been told diagnosed with, and he was told it was incurable, nothing they could do about it. He asked me to lay hands on him, and I did. And God healed him and just set him free. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, in 24 hours, he came back. The doctor said, you don't have any brain tumor. It's all gone. It's all diminished. And praise God for that. But see, what we saw in that is the light. What was behind the light was the life. The life is the creative power of God. The life is the Father, God, who loved us so much, he sent his only begotten Son that we might have life, his life in us. This is the Father that Jesus is teaching us about. Amen. So it says in verse 8, it says, John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. See, I said this last week, but I want to repeat this. We must understand that this light is more than the person of Jesus in the earth. This light is more than what Jesus Christ preached. It is more than what we have recorded of the Christ in the scriptures or in history. In John 17:3, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And I'm repeating myself from last week, but this is just on the inside of me. This is why it's so important, because to believe in Jesus, because we believe in the Father, we believe in God, but if you won't accept the Son, how can you accept the Father? Remember, Jesus told his disciples, if they reject you, it's not you they're rejecting, it's me. See, if you reject the ambassador of the king, you've rejected the king. If you dismiss the one who comes to you bearing the word of God, you're dismissing the one who sent the word of God. So when we say, well, I believe in the Father, but I don't know everything about Jesus, you are dismissing the witness, the light, that gives reference to the life that we might live. Are you making sense out of this? See, knowing God the Father is more than knowing doctrine or scripture. When an author writes a book, the book cannot contain everything the author knows or believes. The book is simply an introduction to get to know the author. And he may talk to you about one subject, but it's an introduction. The Bible is an introduction to God. You can memorize, this is what I mean by this, you can memorize scripture and not know God. You can be able to quote chapter and verse and not know the one who wrote it. You can do a book review and still not know the one who wrote the Bible, who sent it to us. And Jesus has come to send the word to us. Again, Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It is out of the abundance of God the Father comes the word, or comes Christ. This Bible, this Messiah that we worship, is out of the abundance of God. I don't know how to say this, and this may not be correct doctrinally or theologically, but there's more to God than just Jesus. Because you can't grasp everything Jesus did. And if you can't grasp everything Jesus did, how can you grasp everything God did? So God the Father is more than Jesus. And belief in God is more than just belief in the person of Jesus. You can believe Jesus is God. You can believe he's the Lord. You can believe he's the Messiah. But God is more. Because Jesus, he speaks more out of the abundance of the heart. The abundance is an overflow. And an overflow is you get the spillage. You get the excess of the overflow. See, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit can't come till I go. What's he talking about? He's talking about there's more. He says, I pray for you that I'm going to build the church on the foundation of the rock. Well, what does that mean? There's more. On the revelation, there's more. We don't know it all yet. And I personally believe when we go to heaven, we're going to go back to school. There's going to be things that we're going to have to be trained and taught in because we don't know what the heck's going on. And it'll be a good school. It won't be the old school that you hated when you were a kid. But this will be a living school of God. Amen. See, when you talk about the abundance of the Father, grace is a manifestation of the abundance of God. That's why we call it revelation or revealed knowledge. Is because an understanding of grace is beginning to understand the abundance. Because grace is the abundance of God. Why? Have you ever asked this question? God, why would you love me? And there's a couple of answers. One, because God is love. And two, he's giving you his grace. See, he loves you because that's his character. But his grace is that abundance, that overflow of God's character. He is love, but he doesn't have to love you. I could probably point to every one of us in here. There's probably somebody that you know that really doesn't love you. Okay? See, they're not giving you grace. If you've been married for 12 months, you understand the work of grace. I love you in spite of everything you've done. You know, that's the excess. The grace is the excess of the person of God. Amen. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, 9, and 10. He says, that was the true light that John is bearing witness. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Jesus gives us light that we can know the Father. This light, if you go back up to verse 5, it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or did not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness. See, the world cannot understand Jesus because the world cannot get out of the darkness that it's in. That's why you have to have a revelation of God. You know, it's not, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but it's the preached word of God. That's why we've got to share the message of Jesus. We've got to talk about Jesus. We've got to take the gospel of Jesus to other people because the world cannot walk in what they don't understand. And as Christians, we often get upset with the world because they're not walking in the light, but they're walking in darkness. And that's why they do what they do. They need to be saved. They need to have an entrance of light into them. Amen. See, now, in John 1:11, it says, Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Now, talking about the Jews. But I'll tell you, it's in the church, too. We can modernize this and bring it to the church. Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Oh, hallelujah. See, we're not born because we want to be. You don't become a Christian because I want to better my life. You are born again of God. It says it very clearly. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld his glory. Whose glory? The glory of the Father. See, Jesus came bearing witness of the Father. So the glory that we beheld when we watched Jesus is the glory of the Father, and that glory is full of grace and truth. Now think about that. I want to get on this. Full of grace and truth. The glory was grace and truth. John 1:17, if you drop down to there, says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. See, the law is a set of penalties, a set of instructions. This is how you approach God. If you don't do it this way, you can't talk to God. If you mess up along the way, you can't talk to God. If you do this, you can't talk to God. Well, there's no grace in that. It's legalism. And this is how God taught the Jews that there is a God, because he showed them, if you do right, I'll bless you. If you don't do right, you'll be under the curse. And I don't think God put the curse on them, my own faith, because it's Old Testament. He's talking and how they can understand. But they found out there's a God that can free us from the curse. And if we serve him, then the curse is broken. And that's still God's grace. But in Jesus, we found out that God's grace is now based on nothing that we do except our faith in the person of Jesus Christ. If you believe on him, if you believe in Jesus, you believe the Father. Amen? We never understood what grace was like until Jesus came. We never really understood what truth is until Jesus came. And still for many, quote, Christians, church attenders, the grace is too good to believe. See, that's why we say, why some say healing has passed away. Deliverance has passed away. Why? Because they don't believe the fullness of the grace of God to redeem you from that particular curse. Because you're looking at the letter of the law. They don't understand the grace. But when you look at grace, see, when I prayed for the man with the brain tumor, God spoke to me, because he's not a Christian. And God spoke to me, he says, Jesus only prayed for sinners. Because everybody was a sinner when Jesus was there. Because I'm questioning, now, I know this guy, I know where he's coming from, would God heal him? And God spoke to me, he says, Jesus only healed sinners. I said, okay, I'll pray for him. See, this is his grace. This is his mercy. God is showing himself strong on behalf of someone that doesn't really understand him and doesn't really believe in him. But God set him free. Isn't that wonderful? Now, if he'll do it for someone like that, surely he would do it for his kids. Amen? And yet you hear churches and pastors, and they mean well. I mean, they really do. But they're just trying to help you learn how to die quietly and peacefully, instead of teaching you how to live in an overcoming life. I'm not trying to be mean, but that's what most pastors and most denominations want. They want pastors. I had a lady years ago say this to me. We had started another church, a sister church, and she when it had to be disbanded, the lady came to me and says, well, who's going to preach my funeral? She wanted to be a member of the church so she'd be guaranteed she had someone to preach her funeral. That's the least thing I'm worried about. Who's going to preach my funeral? I'm going to be I might look in, you know, see if they did a job that was good or not. But basically, I'm in heaven. It doesn't matter who preaches my funeral. They're going to say what they're going to say regardless of what I think about it. But see, this is why denominations want pastors in churches, so they have someone to marry and bury. And if you get beyond that, you can get kicked out. If the church grows too fast, they'll kick you out. If people start getting healed on Sunday mornings, they'll kick you out. I know. You know, if you start living the Bible, you get into trouble. See, if Jesus would have been religious, he never would have had any problem with the Pharisees. But he wasn't there to represent the Pharisees. He was there to represent his Father. Amen. 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 So law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Let me go back to John 14, 8 and 9, where the disciples come and they say, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me, now listen, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Did you know that? If you have a revelation of Jesus, you have a revelation of the Father. If you have an understanding of Jesus, you have an understanding of the Father. So he says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus told the disciples, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Now think about this. The disciples had been with Jesus for 3 years, and they still wanted another sign. They had heard Jesus preach and teach. They had heard, had seen Jesus heal the sick, cast out devils. They had seen Jesus raise the dead. They had seen Jesus heal Jews and Gentiles, the centurion. And here they are. Jesus is preparing for the crucifixion, and they come to him, show us the Father. I mean, I'm surprised Jesus wasn't bald at the time of the crucifixion. I mean, he had so many opportunities to pull his hair out, because all these people are just, well, Jesus, just give us another sign. Okay, I'll raise this person from the dead for us. Wow, that was really cool. How about another sign? See, when you're seeking for signs, you're never satisfied. It's never enough. But if you believe in Jesus, you've seen the Father. This is what Jesus came for, is to get us beyond our doctrine, beyond the scripture, beyond the things that limit us and restrain us, so you can see God for yourself. And if you know God, you know what he's going to do for you. See, so many people, well, does God heal today? Listen, an unsaved person has enough common sense. If there is a God, he heals. It's only when you get religious that you forget that. It's only when you get so stoked on doctrine and the correct doctrine that you've got to, well, I've got to have a scripture for this. If you know God, the scripture came out of the abundance of God. God is not limited to scripture because he's the author of it. He's bigger than the book. So if Jesus healed once, if we would only have one example of healing in the Bible, God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. If Jesus only healed once, we would know, if you knew God, you would know that he heals today. Amen. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Because why? God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Therefore, what God did, he'll still do today. Woo! Hallelujah! That's good news, isn't it? That's great news for us. See, now, let me go on. Jesus is the sign that the Father sent that we would believe in him. Jesus is that example that we would believe in Jesus and understand who the Father God is. Now, go with me to John 1:37. Jesus is speaking here, and this is just an awesome verse all by itself. But he says, the two disciples heard Jesus speak, and guess what? They followed him. He hadn't done any miracles yet at this time. Hadn't cast out any demons. Hadn't raised the dead. Hadn't done a single miracle. These disciples just heard him speak. And their faith activated. And faith without works is dead, right? Their faith was activated, and what did they do? They followed him. See, this is my point. If you hear the word of God, and you say in yourself, this is God, your faith will compel you to follow what you heard. You can't not follow and have faith. Because faith follows. See, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith follows after the word of God. Faith follows after Jesus Christ. Faith follows after God the Father. Faith follows. Hebrews 11:6, closing scripture. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you don't follow him, how can you please him? Oh, Lord, I want to please you. Oh, God, I love you so much, God. Lord, I want to do your will, God. Well, here's what you do. Follow him. Well, God, I'll try to fit you in on Tuesday. No, follow him. This is your evidence of faith. What must I do to show that I believe in God? Follow him. Should I preach? I don't know. Did God call you to preach? Should I lay hands on everybody I meet outside the church? I don't know. Did God call you to do that? Just follow him. He'll lead you. But follow him. But you've got to make a decision, an act of faith. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow his word. I'm going to believe and accept what he says, not what I've heard other people tell me he says. My dad was a pastor. And I made the mistake of following my dad, my pastor, rather than the word of God. And he told a story one time about Jesus feeding the 5,000. You're familiar with that. And I thought it was awesome, because I was just a young believer. I thought it was awesome that God fed all those people with two loaves and five fish, or five fish and two loaves, whichever one it was. I was just amazed. God could feed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. I mean, isn't this awesome what God did? And Dad said, the real miracle that day, everybody else had food, but they hid it, because they didn't know anybody else had food. And the real miracle that day was this little child made all of them bring out their food, and they had enough to feed everybody. That's not what the Bible says. See, the tradition, and Dad meant well, but the tradition of men make the word of God of no effect. See, faith follows the word of God. If the Bible says, and I love it, that Jesus gathered them into a basket, lifted them up to the Father, and blessed them, and then he told the other disciples, pass it out. And they had other baskets, and they dipped out of it, and they had more and more and more and more. And as they passed out the fish and the loaves, more and more appeared. And even when it was over with, they had food left over. That was the miracle. But we miss that because we challenge the word of God, because we don't have the faith to just believe it. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, God will meet you at your level of faith. And whatever you are willing to follow, he will reward you with that benefit. Hallelujah. If you believe in healing, he'll reward you with healing. You believe in deliverance, he'll reward you with deliverance. You believe in prosperity, he'll reward you with prosperity. See, whatever you believe in, but you've got to believe first that he is, and that he is a rewarder. In other words, your faith will work if you put it to work. Your faith will produce what God said it will produce. But the two disciples heard him and followed him. When you hear the word of God, you need to follow it. You need to apply it in your life. Amen. See, we follow Jesus because we follow the Father, who is life and light to us. That is still boggling my mind. Why do I believe in Jesus? The core root of it is I believe in Jesus because I believe in God. Jesus is the natural example that God gave to me, that I could understand who God is. See, there's many people believe in God. And when Jesus is presented, they will accept Jesus because they believe in God. And they'll get born again because they believe there is a God. And if there is a God, you hear this in the secular world all the time. If God is good, how can I let all the evil happen? Well, God is good. And because we understand that God is good, if that's all you know, then you know God in his goodness is trying to save us and redeem us from this corrupted world. He's the light that speaks into the darkness. He's the word that speaks into chaos. He's the one who changes and makes the dead alive. This is who God is. But if you don't believe that, you'll die in your sins. Well, I think that's just hard. No. Because God is life. Hallelujah. You know, if you don't know Jesus, you need to invite him into your life. You need to give your heart over to him. The true Jesus, the true Christ, the Almighty God, the everlasting Father, you need to give your life over to him. Just pray this with me. Jesus, I believe in you. And I ask you today to come into my life, change my understanding, and give me a revelation of who the Father is. Let me see the Father to know him, because I believe there is a good God. And if there's a good God, he has good things for me. So I accept you into my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.